three Navy airmen survive an encounter with the Dead Man's Curve. Light Squared CEO is confident of a win. And was the death of 30 Yemeni soldiers really friendly fire? This is Arrow News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this Arrowcast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, October 4th, 2011. The U.S. Navy pilot of a Seahawk helicopter made what's being called an aggressive emergency landing from an estimated 25 to 30 feet above the runway at Jefferson City Memorial Airport in Missouri Saturday afternoon. Responders reported that among the crew of three, the pilot was not injured. Another occupant was treated for minor injuries at a local hospital, then released to help the pilot secure sensitive equipment. A third man seated in the rear of the aircraft, where most of the damage occurred, was hospitalized for treatment of a fractured vertebra. News Tribune cites witness accounts in reporting the $38 million helicopter took off without incident just before 2 p.m. local time, but appeared to lose power to the tail rotor, prompting the emergency landing. Photos from the scene show significant tail boom damage. Jefferson City Fire Chief Bob Rennick told the paper he understood the chopper was being ferried to San Diego from a Lockheed Martin facility in New York, where it was built, and had only about 20 hours on the Hobbs meter. There was an air show taking place at the airport Saturday too, but the Seahawk was not taking part in it. The Navy will investigate the accident. In the ongoing battle between Light Squared and everybody who owns a GPS device, the company has gone on a public offensive, teasing the public with full-page ads in newspapers, predicting its service will lead to broadband internet rates half what they are today. Light Squared CEO Sanjiv Ahuja is also making the rounds of the interview circuit to assure consumers that the company's plan to move its debut to the lower portion of its allocated frequency spectrum will resolve interference concerns for 99.5% of GPS users, and that the company will spend $150 million to solve the remaining half percent's problem. In an interview with the New York Post, Ahuja predicts that following the completion of interference testing next month, the FCC will approve the rollout of the nationwide service and that any problems can be solved. Quote, "I am absolutely confident the FCC will approve it. We think we will overcome this challenge by simply good engineering. These are engineering challenges that good engineers can work and resolve." Unquote. Light Squared intends to sell its service wholesale, allowing retailers and manufacturers of wireless devices to build and sell products which use the service. The largest partner to commit so far has been Best Buy, which will bundle the service with products sold through its stores. A deadly friendly fire incident in Yemen Saturday has killed at least 30 of that country's soldiers, but observers there say it may have been intentional. The Yemeni Army's 119th Brigade rebelled against the government of President Ali Abdullah Saleh during the regional uprising now known as the Arab Spring earlier this year, in which a protest movement demanded an end to his 34-year-old regime. The Associated Press reports the target of the bombing by a government warplane was an abandoned school just east of Zinjibar, the scene of intense fighting to secure the area from militants linked to Al-Qaeda. The bombing reportedly killed at least 30 soldiers and injured many more. The AP quotes officials who asked to remain anonymous in reporting that after the bombing, militants moved in to kill an unknown number of injured survivors. The bombing of the abandoned school came just a day after a strike on a two-car convoy by two U.S. Predator drones was reported to have killed three key figures in Al-Qaeda in Yemen, including two who were American citizens. The U.S. is not alone in its protest of Europe's proposed taxes on the carbon emissions of airlines. ICAO, the International Civil Aviation Organization, which is an arm of the United Nations, and an additional group of countries led by India, are all insisting that unilateral taxes charged by Europe violate international treaties governing airlines. The Times of India reports the group of 26 countries chaired by India's Civil Aviation Secretary, SNA Zaidi, adopted a joint declaration to that effect on Friday. Zaidi commented, quote, "We think that the EU's proposal is illegal because it seeks to charge airlines for the lag of journey outside its airspace. This is an extraterritorial principle which is illegal," unquote. The group led by Zaidi has been left open to additional participant countries. The airline industry has its own campaign underway against the plan. The new EU rules are scheduled to take effect in January. Up next on ANN, Forecast International says GA is not yet out of the woods. A LEAP prize honors the quietest aircraft. And what a surprise, government employees aren't crazy about commercial space. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, October 4th. I'm Paul Platt. ARSA, the Aeronautical Repair Station Association, has launched a survey of repair stations. Congress prohibited the FAA from acting on foreign repair station certificate applications submitted after August 3rd, 2008. Because the TSA had not finalized repair station security rules. U.S. aviation companies are barred from tapping into rapidly expanding overseas markets, which ARSA says is hindering job creation and growth at home. ARSA Executive Director Sarah McLeod observes, quote, 3 years into the ban, TSA still hasn't issued its rules, so punishing us obviously hasn't made the agency do its job any faster. The maintenance industry and its workers are the real victims of a bad law and agency inaction, unquote. ARSA is asking repair stations to complete a brief survey detailing the impact the prohibition has had on jobs and revenues. The survey results will support ARSA's efforts on Capitol Hill to repeal the ban. ARSA asks that each company complete the survey only once before October 14th. Find a link to the survey itself at www.arsa.com. The widely followed analysis firm Forecast International is out with a prediction that the return of a robust general aviation marketplace will not be a quick one. FI predicts we have 2 years of slow growth ahead worldwide, followed then by an uptick starting in 2013. In its study titled The Market for General Aviation Utility Aircraft 2011 through 2020, FI projects that general aviation and utility aircraft manufacturers will produce over 24,000 aircraft worth about $28 billion in the coming 10 years. The firm excluded the production of business jets on the high end and LSAs on the low end from this study. Production is forecast to climb slightly from 2011 through 2012, but the firm forecasts stronger growth starting in 2013, rising from a little over 1,900 aircraft in 2013 to more than 3,100 aircraft in 2020. Of the 24,385 aircraft forecast for production during the decade, production of piston aircraft will account for just over 18,400 aircraft, worth $8 billion. Production of turboprops will total almost 6,000 aircraft, worth about $20.5 billion. At the NASA Green Flight Challenge, Eric Lindberg, founder of LEAP, the Lindberg Electric Aircraft Prizes, announced the first winner for quietest aircraft. That prize was awarded to eGenius, a two-seat electric plane designed and built by the University of Stuttgart Institute of Aircraft Design under the leadership of Professor Rudolf Voigt-Nitschmann. Accompanying the prize was a cash award of $10,000 donated by Jean Schultz, widow of Charles M. Schultz, for whom the airport where the competition took place was named. The Lindbergh Prize for Quietest Aircraft is a new prize for LEAP. The testing was performed by an independent team of aeroacousticians who measured takeoff noise levels of each of the planes in the Green Flight Challenge. Noise levels of the competitors ranged from a minimum of 56 dBA to a maximum of 72 dBA. eGenius won with a takeoff range of 56 to 62. By comparison, the takeoff noise of a turbofan aircraft at a similar distance is 110 dBA. That's over 16 times louder. Eric Lindberg commented, quote, "When aircraft noise is used as a reason to close airports, we all lose. With quieter aircraft using renewable energy, we can revolutionize how we travel about the planet." Unquote. And finally today, the French news service AFP is reporting that a notable list of space exploration experts is critical of the Obama administration's initiative to shift the bulk of low Earth orbit space work to commercial providers. Coincidentally, those experts quoted share in common years spent with NASA or otherwise benefiting from the agency's largesse. The feature article is titled "Obama Under Fire Over Space Plans" and was published over the weekend by Breitbart. It quotes former Apollo astronaut and first man on the moon Neil Armstrong from his recent testimony to federal lawmakers, in which he warned, quote, "We will have no American access to and return from low Earth orbit and the International Space Station for an unpredictable length of time in the future," unquote. Armstrong called the current state of the U.S. space program embarrassing. The last man to walk on the moon, astronaut Gene Cernan, calls trusting commercial providers for low Earth orbit missions, quote, "A mission to nowhere. We are on a path of decay. We are seeing the book close on five decades of accomplishment as the leader in human space exploration," unquote. AFP also quoted Representative Ralph Hall, a Republican who represents Texas, a state which has benefited economically from NASA spending for decades. Hall says of vague, unfunded plans for exploration of asteroids in the planet Mars, quote, "If NASA doesn't move out quickly, more and more of our industrial base, skilled engineers and technicians, and hard-won capabilities are at risk of withering away," unquote. Reading between the lines, Hall's career could be threatened by a pork shortage in Texas. Space Policy Institute Director Scott Pace, a former NASA Associate Administrator who worked in various federally funded jobs linked to the agency going back more than two decades, tells AFP, quote, "I don't think any of the ISS partners looks at what we are doing in the U.S. with commercial cargo and crew and feels very confident," unquote. Highlighting the role of politics in NASA, current agency management, at least publicly, is on board with the new direction, admitting the Constellation program canceled by the Obama administration in favor of commercial space was over budget, behind schedule, and lacking in innovation. And AFP's negative take on the end of government management of low Earth orbit comes in ironic contrast to an update from SpaceX founder Elon Musk last week at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C. Musk noted that his Dragon spacecraft has had its first docking with the International Space Station delayed because the required crew can't get to the station for the test until the Russians finish sorting out technical problems with their half-century-old, government-managed Soyuz technology. That's the latest from Aero News. If you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.